If you have your Bibles, I encourage you to open them to John chapter 14 today. John chapter 14, the title of the message is The Way to Heaven. Now, some of you, as you came in this morning, might be confused about which way you should go. At least one of you mentioned that to me. It's like, which way am I supposed to go? Am I supposed to go that way? Am I supposed to go that way? What is the way that I'm supposed to go? I hope that by the end of this message, you will say, yes, I know where I need to go. How many of you like to travel? How many of you are travelers? Great. How many of you don't want to travel? Go with me then. Some of you like to get on the open road and you just like to drive through Denver. Why? I don't have any idea why you'd want to do that, especially at 5 o'clock. I've done that. That's no fun. If you ever complain about traffic in Rapid City, go to Denver at 5 o'clock and then you come back and zip your lip because that's just crazy. Some of you like to go to Europe, and you're like, wow, let's go across the pond, and it's wonderful to go. We are spoiled in today's culture because we have these little smartphones that many of you use, and you just say, I want to go to church, and then it'll tell you how to get to church. Sometimes, though, you might hear this.
Recalculating.
Some of you don't like to travel, and going anywhere can be a pain. You're like, why, I don't, and then if you're married and you don't like to do that and you're married to somebody who does, what, talk about, isn't God great when he does that? I mean, when one doesn't like to travel and the other one does, and it's like, ah. And again, you might think you're supposed to go east and then it's supposed to be north and you're not really sure because you really don't care because you don't like to travel and you hear these words.
Recalculating.
A few days ago, I was privileged to go underground. I was able to go to the Homestake mine at the Sanford Underground Research Facility. How many of you have been underground at the Homestake? Anybody ever been there? Kind of an interesting place to go to. I went on this elevator shaft with some other people down 1,700 feet. I took some pictures, but it's all dark, so I'm not going to bore you with that by any means. But we went through these tunnels that were probably, I think, probably about 7 to 8 feet wide by about 7 or 8 feet tall. I don't have any idea how anybody figured out which way they should go. And I know under Professor Bowen, and he attends our church, I know that he would be like, well, you just, it's a plumb bob, and you just know how to, I didn't understand at all. I just know there was a tunnel, we rode on a little cart, and I just followed. Wherever the guide went, I went as well. I had a hard hat on, I had a headlamp on, and many of you have went to a cave, and you've been in a cave somewhere, and they're like, let's turn all the lights off. And then you're like, it's really dark in here, and you can't see nothing. Well, they don't have lights in the 1700 level. It's like everybody has a headlamp on, and if all those lamps were to go out, somebody would have to come down and rescue me because I would have no idea where I was and how I was supposed to get out of there. I was thankful for my guide. I was thankful for the guide who showed us around. And we have a guide, and that guide's name is Jesus. What happens after we die? I'll tell you what happens after we die. We either go to heaven or we go to hell. Jesus talks of this, but he tells us how to get to heaven. And I am assuming many of you know the way. And I'm assuming this is going to be a great encouragement of a message for anybody here, unless you don't know Christ. And at that point in time, it should be because you need to know the way of Jesus Christ. I want to read to you from John chapter 14. I'm going to start at verse 1. And actually, I'd like for you, I'm just not going to read today. I'd like for you to read along with me. So if you would read along with me, the words are going to be on the screen. And let's read this passage together today. John chapter 14. Verse 1, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Thank you very much. The first thing I want you to see is this. Our hearts can be troubled. The ESV has, "Let not your hearts be troubled." There's another version that says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." I like that version a little better. Do not let your hearts be troubled. I wonder what might trouble your heart. I'm not sure what troubled Olivia's heart right there, but something troubled her that she cried out at that point in time, and that's totally fine. I believe this. Many of you have had a troubled heart this week. There's been something in your life that has troubled you, maybe a grand way, or maybe just a little bit. Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled." Do not let your heart be troubled. Here are some things that might trouble us. Famine, bills, tests. Maybe you lost a game this last week. Maybe you have lost a life. Gambling addiction can make your heart be troubled. Missed opportunity. If you've been fired from a job, troubles your heart. Your mom can trouble you at times. Your dad might trouble you at times. Your kids might trouble you. Bad grades, disrespectful people, technology that doesn't work. Our government might trouble you. Our deficit, those who won't listen to Christ, lack of respect for one another. Maybe you were troubled in your heart this week because you had a difficulty with Netflix. Maybe you're a Broncos fan. You've been troubled this year. Maybe you have been troubled by impeachment inquiries. Maybe there's monsoons, hurricanes around the globe. The scripture says, do not let your hearts be troubled. But I beg to say that many of us in this room have let our hearts be troubled. I think the answer is towards the end of the passage that we'll get to in just a moment. Let me just say this. If your heart has been troubled, know that you have a Redeemer. Know that you have one who sits at the right hand of the Father interceding for you. You do not need to let your heart be troubled. Number two, Jesus went to prepare a place for each of us. I love this. How long did it take God to create the world? How long? 6 days. And then he rested. And we enjoy the beauties of God's creation. He spoke and it came to be. By the way, God created the world and he created each of us. Each of us, each of you, individual, were created in your mother's womb. You are special. We're not just some mass. You were created by God. And if God created all the beauty that we enjoy in 1 week, I just want you to think of what the beauty of heaven is going to be. Here's what it says. Jesus is preparing a place. And if I go and prepare a place for you, now, I may be adding something to the text a little bit here, but I don't know that I am. But if God created the world in 6 days, and he's preparing a place for me many thousand years later, I'm telling you something, that's going to be an awesome place. You have a home in heaven. If it took God 6 days to create all of this, can you imagine the splendor of heaven? Maybe go with that this week and just say, I wonder what heaven's going to be like. I know there's great troubles of my soul, but man, heaven's going to be awesome. Look in your scriptures and think about how wonderful heaven is going to be. You think of your most favorite place on earth. I don't know where it might be. It might be your own backyard. Some of you like to travel, so maybe you like to go to the mountains, or maybe you like to go to the beach. Maybe you like to go to the beach in February. Maybe you can plan that. Maybe you like to go to Alaska, or maybe you like to sit by a wheat field. Maybe you love the Black Hills. Maybe you like to go to the downtown of a big city. That just reinvigorates you. Maybe you want to go to Spain or Montana or some hunting ground. Let's say that someone came to you and said, You can have that place. I'm going to give you that place. All you have to do is come down to the office, sign your name on the papers, and then it is yours. You'd probably look at him and say, yeah, right. If it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. But let's say it happened. You'd sit back and you'd be like, this place is awesome. You have been guaranteed a home in heaven. That's what Jesus is saying here. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you that I go to prepare a place for each of you. Now, some of you are wishing you could be there today. God hasn't called you home yet. But God has prepared a place in heaven that is a gazillion times better than the place that maybe you think is heaven. And Jesus is truthful. Here's what it says. If it were not so, I would have told you. The word for preparing a place could also be identified as abiding place. It's kind of interesting, that word abiding place, because a little bit later he says, if you abide in me and I in you, in John chapter 15, abide in me and I in you. The third thing I want you to see is this. Jesus is coming again. Not only do we have this wonderful place in heaven, but we are going to be taken there. We don't have to rely upon Google Maps or directions. We don't have to worry about our lights or gas or tires. We don't have to worry about how it's all going to work out. Why? Because Jesus is coming to serve as our guide. We don't have to hear these words. Davin?
Recalculating.
We're never going to have to hear that. Because when Jesus comes, he's just going to take us there. I found that there are several who of you that are older in the room. This doesn't apply to everybody. But there are some of you that are older in the room that you like to go sightseeing. But what you really want to do is you want somebody to pull their bus up in front of your house. You want to get onto the bus. You want to sit in the bus, you want to ride, and you want the guide to take you where you're going to go. You don't want to have to worry about the meals. You don't want to have to worry about getting lost. You don't want to have to worry about hearing this.
Recalculating.
You just want to get there. Now, some of you are like, that's the fun of it. Let's get lost a couple of times. But many of us want to know and have the place. This is what Jesus is going to do for us. He is coming to get us. It's not a, I wonder where I'm going to go. I wonder how I'm going to get there. It's a putting my trust in Jesus, because he says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself. I wonder if you trust in the I wills of Jesus. He says, I will come again. If you look back in John chapter 6, verse 40, he says, I will raise him up at the last day. In John chapter 12, verse 32, it says, when I am lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. In John chapter 14, verse 13, it says, and I will do whatever you ask in my name. Jesus says, I will come again, and we won't hear these words.
Recalculating.
Fourth thing I want you to see is this. The most important part of the message. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the way. There are a number of different concepts, realities. There's a number of different thought patterns that are out that are wondering, how do we get to heaven? There's one way to heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ our Lord. Maybe you heard the song. It's an old Sunday school song. I got a one-way ticket to glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. How many know that song? Thank you. And a little more hands than some of the songs that I sing. Jesus now utters the words of life and the words of testing. He gives another I am. As a reminder, the Gospel of John is littered with the I ams. This is the sixth I am. Here are the I ams again given to you. In John 6, verse 35, I am the bread of life. In John 8, verse 12, I am the light of the world. In John 10, verse 9, I am the door. In John 10, verse 11, I am the good shepherd. In John 11, verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. Here in John chapter 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. In John chapter 15, which we'll get to a little bit later, I am the true vine. What is Jesus saying with these I am statements? Here's what he's saying. Jesus is the nourisher for our lives. Jesus shines in the darkness. Jesus is the opening for us. Jesus is kind and loving as a shepherd. Jesus defeated death. Jesus is the way. And when we trust in him, we must stay by him in the vine. These three, though, are very important. To the Jew, these three words, the way, the truth, and the life, would have had significant meaning. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21, here's what it says. This is the way, walk in it. Psalm 27, verse 11, teach me your way, O Lord. And Jesus says, I am the way. Psalm 86, verse 11, teach me the way, O Lord, that I may walk in thy truth. Psalm 119, verse 30, I have chosen the way of truth. Hear this quote. Many men have told us the truth, but no man ever embodied it. No teacher has ever embodied the truth he taught except Jesus. Many a man could say, I have taught you the truth, and many teachers do that. But Jesus says, I am the truth. You may teach somebody else how to make something, how to bake something. You teach them the truth, but you're not that actual teaching. Jesus said, I am the truth. Not only am I telling you the truth, but I am that truth. Psalm 16, verse 11. Thou dost show me the path of life. Man is seeking for life. And what will make my life worth living? Jesus gives us that. For the Christian, these words that I am the way, the truth, and the life, I think should be the most invigorating, life-changing, and life-freeing words. If you aren't a Christian, though, these words seem bewildering, confusing, and bombastic. Each of us must deal with these words of I am the way, the truth, and the life. If he is not that, then why did Jesus come? Everybody knows that Jesus was on the earth. If Jesus is not, then these words are purely flimsical utterings of the one that is called Jesus. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 states this, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. At times, this seems a little intolerant. Well, and maybe you've been told that. Well, don't all roads lead to heaven? No, they don't. Jesus was the perfect sacrifice for our sins, one who never sinned, who became sin so that we may have life. And when we see the awesome sacrifice that he has made, we should respond to him. He defeated death, and that salvation can only come through Jesus Christ. Because these words are true, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, they change everything. Our worlds are changed when we trust in the one who provides the way, explains the truth, and gives us a full life. If you are one that's here this morning and you're like, well, I don't know, I ask you to observe the life of Jesus Christ. I would ask you to observe the life of somebody you see as a Christ follower, but I hesitate in that because I know that I will fail. So you observe the life of Jesus Christ, the one who's the sacrifice, the one who died for all mankind's sin, the one who sits at the right hand of the Father, interceding for those who call upon his name. Would you be willing to trust in Jesus today? If you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, please know that your ticket has been paid, your way has been sealed, your truth has been revealed, and may you be encouraged by the true I am. How do we get to God? Through Jesus. It's not a weird formula. I wonder what we do. I wonder how that makes it happen. You don't have to trust in another God. You don't have to say, oh, I wonder if I break this pencil correctly in the right spot, then maybe the God of this pencil will help me get to heaven. No, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Believe in me. Thomas says this, we don't know where you're going. Where are you going? We don't know where you're going. How long has he been with Jesus? He's been with him 3 years. Why wouldn't he know? The same way, sometimes we just get around church and we forget to apply the things that are being taught. May your 3 years or however many years come to you and say, I believe in Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Maybe look at it in this way. Let's say that you have started on a trip, and let's say that you have been traveling for a long time, and let's say you hear these words again.
Recalculating.
For some of you, a long time is 2 hours. But others of you, it could be 3 days or 7 days. Whatever the time length, just know that you have traveled and it hasn't been the easiest. Actually, some parts of the trip have been very, very difficult. Some of you have been on trips like that. Get a flat tire in the first 20 miles. You're like, ah. Then the snow comes. Then your wipers fail. Then your carburetor goes out. You're like, ah. Maybe your trip has required you to walk in mud with heavy boots up a very steep hill. And maybe it was through a blizzard in sub-zero temperature. Maybe it's been several days without taking a shower, which would bother some of you, or brushing your teeth. And that would bother some of you if you can't brush your teeth every day. Maybe you have the same old clothes on. Maybe you've desired a cool drink of water. Let's say that you are utterly exhausted. What do you want? Either you just want to be at home or you want to arrive at your destination. And when you arrive, you just slump. And you're like, I am here finally. And if you have kids, you're like, just leave me alone for a good 20 minutes so I can just rest. This is what heaven is going to be like for those of you who trust in Jesus Christ. You may have heard the words of recalculating, and maybe you have been bothered by things, and you feel like you're in mudded boots going up a hill, snowing, and somebody's pulling on a rope behind you. This journey we're on provides flat tires, it provides blizzards, it provides pesky gnats, it's monotony, it's driving rain, it's eye-stretched moments when you try to keep your eyes open. But one day, Jesus is coming again, and he's going to take you on the one way to heaven. If you don't know of this way, please know of this way. There's no other reason for living, actually. If you don't know Jesus Christ, then why live? You're going to end up in the grave, and it doesn't really matter. Why live? You'll be reincarnated to a fly. Who cares? But if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and if you know that this is the way, you know that when you believe in him, you have a home in heaven. And all of those days, all that troubling of your soul is going to be washed away. The one who has gone before has paved the way. And he not only knows the way, Jesus Christ is the way. All roads do not lead to God. A relationship with God, not a religion, must come through Jesus. And where some would say that is exclusive, it's actually so inclusive that all can get to eternal life. Think of it in a different way here, possibly. Let's say your car is broken down and you need to get it fixed. And let's say when you show up to the mechanic says this, you know, I've worked on spaceships. Are you going to let him work on your car? Let's say that you have your child going to school, and the teacher comes to you before the school starts, and the teacher says, you know, I've never really been in the classroom, but I've worked with chimpanzees before. And because I know sometimes it's kind of a monkey kind of atmosphere in the classroom, I think I'll be okay. Are you going to be like, yeah, I want you to be my teacher? Maybe it's time for an important surgery for you, a delicate one. And the doctor or nurse comes in and says, you know what? I've got great news for you. I've done a surgery on a horse kind of like this. So I think you're in good hands. We should be fine. Horses, people, it's all kind of the same thing. Horses, their liver's a little bit bigger than yours, but you're going to be okay. What if you went to a financial advisor with your money and the financial advisor said, you know what I do? What I have done is I have this play money at home and I just play with the play money at my house. Are you going to trust that financial advisor? Or think of a lawyer, which I won't give a lawyer joke today, but let's say that you have a lawyer who you go to who you're needing help with and they say, you know what? I've read a brief before, and the brief was in the newspaper. Are you going to trust that lawyer with your results? Jesus, the perfect Son of God, will lead you to heaven. We desire, we need, we believe in the one Savior, perfect in holiness, without sin, who defeated death and went into heaven and is coming again to take us to heaven. Now, doesn't that sound heavenly? We all can be troubled. I beg to think that maybe something's going to come in your life this week, you can be troubled. Something's going to come to you. Here's the end of why we don't need to be troubled. It's going to be over someday, and we're going to be in heaven. And we get so focused in on this little thing and these little temptations and these little struggles. And let me tell you, Jesus has already been and he says, I'm coming again. And so may you know Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And may you know the way to heaven and trust in him today. Would you stand with me? I want to pray for each of you today. Would you bow your heads? Would you close your eyes? Lord Jesus, I understand that there's a world that we live in that said that there's many roads to heaven, that you can believe what you want to believe. Oh God, I pray that we don't miss the truth, and the truth is you. Help nobody in this room to leave here this morning without committing or recommitting themselves to you again and saying, yes, you are the way, the truth, and the life. God, I pray that if there'd be somebody in here who's going down the wrong path, not the right way, I pray that they would just say, I need to go on the right way, and that way is Jesus. I pray for somebody here this morning who they're debating truth and what is truth. I pray that they would know that you not only taught truth, you are the truth. And then I pray that each of us would walk out of here knowing that we have great lives and we have the life because of Jesus being in our lives. God, I pray for somebody here this morning that they would make that determination in their heart and their life that you are the way, the truth, and the life, and they would follow faithfully after you. God, I pray that you would encourage somebody this morning who it's been a struggle and they've been wondering and wandering a bit. I pray that they would get back on the way and they would trust you. And it may feel like at times they're going up a hill and they've got mudded boots and it's just slogging through life. I pray, God, that you would remind them of the home in heaven that they have. And God, I pray that each person would not let their hearts be troubled, that they would believe in you today, and as they walk out of here, they would walk with their heads held high, knowing that you have forgiven them, that you have saved them, and that you're doing a mighty work. Thank you, God, that you love us. Thank you that you died on the cross for our sins. May we go and walk in your way this week, and I pray this in the mighty and the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.